When I was little and I fought with my sister. My sister had two sisters, one 2 years younger than me, one 5 years younger than me. It was the two-year younger one that I bickered with the most because she was closest in my age and we did the most things together. She had a comeback to any argument that basically shut the argument down. Killed me. Because I was a sensitive child. Soft. Sweet. Kind-hearted child. A baby. A whiner. So I came home, for example, after school. Now the night before, we had chocolate cake. My favorite. I saved mine. Yeah, that's right. I wanted something to look forward to after school. I came home, looked in the refrigerator. It was gone. Gone. I started tearing the house apart, looking under the couch. Hung the dog upside down, trying to shake it out. Looked behind the toilet. Couldn't find it. My sister walked in. She had chocolate icing on her cheek. Marianne, did you take my cake? Yes. Now, you ever notice when siblings fight, there is an agreeable disagreement? Like, yes. Unspoken was, what are you going to do about it, turkey? I said, Marianne, you had your piece last night. I know. Again, idiot. Marianne, I saved that. I saved that all day. Now my voice is starting to quiver. I look forward to that. I thought about it. I thought about it in Mr. Brady's science class the whole time. That was my cake. You didn't have any right to take that cake. I figured, you know, with this kind of whiny sort of begging, groveling, she'd apologize. So I went on. And I'm going to tell Mom. She knows you do this. I'm going to tell her. And I'm saying something to her. Because that was my cake. And you do that all the time. And my sister looked at me and said, so, that was it. That's all I got. So I found my mother. Mom. And I started again. I saved that cake. I had it last night. I didn't even want to eat it. I saved it because I wanted it all day at school today. And I figured when I get home, I can have that cake. And that was the last piece. Marianne had her piece, and her piece was bigger than my piece, and she went in there and she took it anyway. My mother looked at me and said, so? It was genetic. My dad never said so. Sometimes he just said, Raymond, I ate your cake. Got hungry. And I went, so? Now, why would I intro this monologue with all that? Because I was along, but I was having fun with the story. Did you ever have somebody say, that's just not who I am? For example, if I'm doing marriage counseling, and one of the partners is not affectionate at all, or doesn't say, I love you, and the spouse would love that. A crumb of affection. And I suggest, why don't you do that? And I could hear, that's not who I am. And if I weren't in counseling, I'd want to go, so? You see, when we hide behind, that's not who I am, especially now, I'm not talking about personality traits and characteristics. I'm talking about morality. I'm talking about God asks us to be a certain way for him in our treatment of other people. Example, if your spouse would love you to do something with him or her, and you don't want to do that, you'd never choose to do that on your own. Forget it. That's not who I am. Okay, so that's not who you are. But you are asked to be a little more giving, a little more loving, a little more affectionate. You know, a lot of you dads out there, it's hard for you to show affection to your kids. Hug them, kiss them. It's not who you are. Okay, so Christ asks you to be who you're not. You can't hide behind that and say, well, you know, I'm just not wired that way. Well, it doesn't matter how you're wired. Might be a little harder for you to do that. A lot of people come into my office with some level of depression. Much depression is life-oriented depression. Their reaction to situations. I get a lot of moms depressed because the kids are eating them alive. All right, so they're very frustrated with motherhood. And as a result, they get depressed. They won't do some of the things they need to do. Why? Well, that's just not me. That's just not me. Yeah, but part of your problem here, I don't say it this way, it's a little bit too blunt. Part of your problem here is caused by you being you. You got to not be you sometimes so you can get better. You don't want to kiss your kid goodnight because that's not you. Kiss them goodnight anyway. You don't want to tell your wife you love her. Well, why? I don't know. It's just hard for me to say. What? Somebody pointing a gun at you and telling you you can't say it? Say it. For heaven's sake. That's one of the great psychological rationales. That's not who I am. Why do I call it a psychological rationale? Because, see, the shrinks for years have talked about genuineness, authenticity. You have to be who you are. Yeah, but all too often, authenticity and genuineness and who you are is nothing but a code phrase for, I don't feel like it. We are asked, as followers of Christ, to do an awful lot of stuff we don't feel like doing. Why would we surrender to our impulses, our desires, when we need to overcome them? Now, I'm doing the rest of this program. I might stop at 1:30 and just go off the air. Why? Because to do an hour program filling in for Colleen on a Friday is just not me. It's not me.